This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Josh Nesbitt is worried about your health. In fact, he's worried about everybody's health, especially people in parts of the world where basic health care isn't readily accessible. Josh wanted to do something to help those people. The lack of infrastructure prevents health workers from easily delivering care to remote areas, so he developed Medic Mobile. It's a company that creates simple mobile phone apps that can help healthcare workers do their job in less than ideal conditions. Josh is speaking at the Switchpoint Conference at Saxapahaw on April 20th. That is a conference that brings together innovators, entrepreneurs, and techies to tackle the common problem of health inequality across the world. Josh Nesbitt is CEO of Medic Mobile, and he joins us now by phone. Welcome, Josh. Good to talk with you.
My pleasure.
Tell us about how phone apps can be used to deliver medical care.
Sure. Well, I'll start with the reality that there are now a billion people that have no access to any healthcare system, whether public or private. And what I mean by that is that a billion people alive today will never see a health worker in their entire lives. I was in rural Malawi in 2007, and I met a doctor who was serving about 250,000 people, and patients were either walking or ox carting 100 miles to get access to him. I was in Nepal in November, and it would take me about 10 hours walking along shale mountainsides to get to the closest villages, but the furthest villages expected to come to that hospital for care were about a 7-day trek away. Mm. So starting with that reality, we said, you know, what do people actually have access to? And they have access to two things. One are village-level volunteers who are basically providing really simple healthcare services. And there are about 10 million of these community health workers around the world. And the second thing is mobile phones, tremendously. I was, you know, in rural Malawi, and I had a better cell signal than I did in Palo Alto. So 90% of the world's population is covered by a mobile signal. So we help do simple things like monitor who has tuberculosis or which mothers have danger signs during pregnancies. Or we provide reminders to mothers who are having trouble basically managing really complex vaccination schedules. And we're seeing awesome results. So we saw a hospital double the number of patients they were treating for emergency care and double the number of patients they were treating for tuberculosis in just 6 months.
Well, how does that explain that? And how does the fact of these notifications double? Because it's still a 10-hour or more trip from that rural place to the hospital, right?
That's right. So we try to make sure that those trips are worth it. So in the case of tuberculosis, it's a community health worker who's simply texting in and doing active case finding to see who might have TB. And if you have tuberculosis, then you want to get access to that clinic one way or another. 90% of people who start TB treatment live, and 99% of people who don't pass away. So it's literally life and death at that point. But you're not going to just show up at the hospital to get checked for your chronic cough unless you know that you have TB.
And so what do we do? I mean, how do you do the diagnosis? Is there anything in the technology that does that, or are you relying on those volunteers in those communities to do the diagnosis or help with the diagnosis?
So right now we're relying on those volunteers, but part of the idea with Switchpoint and part of where the technology is headed is, and I will say we just saw a photo sharing app be bought by Facebook for about $1 billion. And that was Instagram. And so the next photo sharing app might come out of a lab at UCLA where they've developed a way to do holographic imaging on really simple camera phones. And so you're basically creating a shadow image that's then transmitted through the cell network, and it's meant to diagnose TB so that you could literally, in about 10 seconds without any human involvement, diagnose a quick blood sample.
How about, you know, anything like instructional videos or just giving instructions by, say, a doctor to a health volunteer? I mean, is any of that sort of what you do or part of this process?
Definitely. So a lot of that happens through text message, and you can actually fit a lot in terms of remote treatment support into a simple 160-character message. So we have our doctors log in to the laptop at the clinic and see the 100 text messages with questions for treatment support that came in overnight and spend just 15 minutes going through them. And that makes a huge difference for decentralization of care. The other thing we're trying is to run really surprisingly complex protocols on even just $10 phones using the SIM applications. So you can run complex applications directly off of a phone SIM card, and that works across any mobile phone in the world. And so you can do things like treatment protocols, so you ask certain questions at the point of care and at the patient's home.
So this would show up as kind of this algorithm. If this, then go to that. If this,
exactly.
If not,
yep.
Then. And all that could be set up through the app, which means it's relatively visible. You'd have some kind of user-friendly application that you'd be looking at, or a form that you might be looking at. Do you mean that?
Exactly. And that's really important, because a lot of these volunteers at the village level, they've only received maybe a week or two, maybe three, of basic training. Okay. And then they're out there on their own.
So now your company was also active in Haiti after the earthquake. Tell us about that.
Sure. So in the case of Haiti, just about 1% of the population had a landline phone, and about 1% of the population was online. But amazingly, about 75 to 80% of people owned a mobile phone. And the only thing that was still getting through after the earthquake was text messages, because it's a store and forward technology that makes its way through one way or another. And so we worked with a really large consortium of partners, for-profit startups here in the Bay Area, the U.S. government, mobile operators in Haiti. And essentially what we did is we set up a short code, 4636, that anyone could text to for free. And what we did was we went radio station to radio station asking people to text in their need and their location. And, you know, we didn't necessarily know this, but that opened a floodgate, and this was the channel that people were using. And so we processed about 100,000 text messages in the first 3 weeks after the earthquake. And the way that we did that was by asking the world for help. So we went to Twitter and Facebook, and we recruited about 3,000 volunteers from all over the world who spoke Haitian Creole and knew Port-au-Prince, and were basically translating, mapping, and categorizing every single one of those 100,000 text messages.
And is record-keeping a part of this process, the fact that you can keep track of sort of what's happening and where?
Definitely. So record keeping is really important, and data collection is really important. But what we try to stress is that you actually need to provide tools that change outcomes in the systems. So make it easier for the health worker, make it easier for the aid responder, and then produce data and reports as a byproduct. So it's not what people's job is. But it's a benefit of using the technology.
So your company, Medic Mobile, is one of many that's going to participate in the SwitchPoint conference at Saxapaha. Tell us about the conference.
It's really exciting. So there'll be 30 speakers crammed into one day. And I mean crammed in the most elegant sense. And attendees from over 22 countries. And the speakers come from all walks of life. So they come from the World Bank and USAID, but also big for-profit companies like Google. We have innovators from Nairobi, working out of the iHub, Ashoka, which is a real center for social entrepreneurship here in the U.S., and then futurists. So a good friend of mine, Andrew Zolli from PopTech, is coming down to give a talk. So it's a real mix of unusual potential collaborators is how I'll frame it.
So it's in a kind of a giant brainstorming session?
It's a giant brainstorming session. And, you know, I have hopes and dreams because I know some of the people who are there, and it's really exciting to see this happening 15 minutes outside of Chapel Hill. You know, I serve on the board of directors of InterHealth, which is, you know, an amazing public charity focused on providing support for health workers across 60 countries around the world. And their headquarters is in Chapel Hill, so I know that they've been dreaming about hosting a local event like this for some time.
Have there been other SwitchPoint-like conferences around the world?
You know, the most similar conferences might be TED, that people might be familiar with, or PopTech. But these are rare, and it's certainly rare in North Carolina, as far as I know.
And some of the people who are going to speak at SwitchPoint actually have given TED Talks, right?
Absolutely. I'd say maybe even the majority.
So what are you hoping for outcomes from this conference?
So I spend a lot of my time trying to get technologists to talk to global health practitioners and to try to wrangle a lot of the progress that we see in technology to solve some of the world's biggest challenges. And it's part of the reason that I'm here in the Silicon Valley in San Francisco. And so for me, I really hope that the technologists come to understand and get really grounded in the challenges in global health. But at the very same time, I hope that global health practitioners understand what's available right now at the cutting edge of technology, or available in 3 months.
Well, and you know, it's a funny thing. It seems ironic when you say, you know, remote rural areas and high technology. But the fact is, when you envision what high technology is these days, it's small and cheap. That's why cell phones are everywhere. They're tiny, and there's not a lot of wires.
Absolutely. You know, Ray Kurzweil will tell you that in 20 years, the processing power of your iPhone 4 will fit within a red blood cell. So things are getting smaller and more accessible and more ubiquitous.
I'm still not giving up my flip phone, Josh.
Fair. Well, when you do, we have a recycling program called Hope Phones you should check out.
I'll do it. But right now, I need to hear the person on the other end. Josh, thank you so much for talking with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Josh Nesbitt, CEO of Medic Mobile, also a speaker at SwitchPoint, a conference that's going to take place at the Haw River Ballroom in Saxapahaw on April 20th. For more information about the conference, including music performances and lectures, all open to the public, go to hawriverballroom.com. Coming up, we celebrate National Poetry Month with the Triangle's own Carolina Wren Press. On the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.